T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Contract, 4 years, $170 million for a team that is not a contender anymore. I think he's going to be very much available in the trade market this summer. They're going to talk together about working together to see what might make sense. I think one team to watch in this marketplace, the Miami Heat.
The one thing that with all of the movement and, after the Paul George move, I feel like Russell Westbrook and his representation, as soon as everything happened, they should have been right on the phone trying to get moved to the Heat. I think he is the other person who fits the fabric of what the – nobody plays harder than Russell Westbrook. Like, those are the things and the principles that the Heat are built on playing hard, working hard, and those two guys represent that completely. So I feel like they could team up if he could somehow work that out. I know Dragic has a big deal, so if they could somehow swing that and pull that rabbit out the hat and get Russ and Jimmy together, that would be unbelievable.
That's a Woj bomb and Quentin Richardson talking about the hot topic this morning in sports radio, especially the day of the All-Star game. Russell Westbrook might be on the move or is going to be on the move from Oklahoma City. Miami, one of those teams in contention to get him. He has use the Miami team in the quotes. We've seen it from Woj. He wouldn't mind being down here. Miami might be the leader in the pack right now to get him, depending on what the offer is. But I think what has changed in 24 hours since we sat here yesterday for a couple hours and talked about would you want Russell Westbrook or not is the fact that Oklahoma City does not have the advantage anymore, does not have the leverage anymore. He wants out. He's made it official. They've talked, him and his agent have talked to Sam Presti, and he will be moved. And the Heat now are in a spot possibly where yesterday it was sell the farm, you got to bet that you gotta throw everyone in the mix to get him. Maybe it's not like that anymore.
Well, and you see what's going on in the NBA. Going back to even when a good guy like Goran Dragic threw a fit to get traded from Phoenix, right? You saw in this offseason, Anthony Davis, where'd he want to go? Who was his agent? Same agent as LeBron. He wanted to go to the Lakers. He ended up with the Lakers. And Paul George, out of nowhere, really, it was in a stunning move and very quiet move, demanded to be traded, and he wanted out, and he wanted to go to the Clippers and join forces with Kawhi Leonard. He got that done. Players, when they flex their muscle, get their ways. Because in a lot of cases, look at the Russell Westbrook. There's only so many landing spots for him with his contract.
You're right.
And his game. And, he can narrow that down even more by where he wants to go. And it looks like the Heat are the, if they're not.
Leader in the pack? Leader of the pack?
I mean, where else really would go? Detroit, people are saying, but if Russell Westbrook says to Detroit, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, he's not.
Do you take on a guy with that big of a contract? And you don't want the face of your franchise to be frowning.
Pissed off he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that.
So, it's sort of like the Heat and Oklahoma City now. Can they get a deal done for both sides?
All right, we'll take your text as well as they come in. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Funny one just came in. I don't know if Jimmy and Russell work, but it'll be fun, so I'm in.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that.
That's where you are,
it
right?
It will be fun. It will. Some nights it will be electric. But you have to remember that, again, Oklahoma City finished sixth in the West. And they haven't won as we said before the break, they haven't won a playoff series in the last 3 years. And it wasn't like they were meeting the Warriors, though, 3 years. They lost to Portland last year, and they lost to Utah the year before, and I believe Dallas the year before that. So they weren't losing to the powerhouse in the West.
No, no. And the year before that is when they lost with Durant to the Warriors, and they were up big in that series, and then Durant bolted that summer. He was out of there at that, you know, at that point.
It will be fun to walk into the arena on a Heat game those nights. It will be electric. It'll be a change. And look, from a marketing and sales, this is great for the Heat.
Sure.
Okay, they've done, as we've said, the improbable by trading a stale team away over the last 2 or 3 years. And now, okay, they will have remade it over in an interesting way.
Yep, they're trying to make themselves relevant again and not being the eighth spot, even though last year they didn't even get there. I wanted to read this to you, and I wanted to see if this surprises you or not. Bobby Portis, who just signed with the New York Knicks in the offseason, told The Athletic he knew of Kyrie Irving's decision in February, and he wasn't the only one. Quote, "I knew what was going to happen in February," he said. Quote again, "We all knew that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving would be going to Brooklyn. Everybody knew that. I just don't think the media knew that. Us basketball players, we all knew it was going to happen." Does that surprise you at all that this decision was possibly made in February to join forces in Brooklyn?
Well, it's sort of like the Heat saying the seeds of the big three were in 2008 and 2009. I don't disagree with that. I'm sure there were seeds, there was discussion between. But let's put it this way. If all the players knew it, one of those players would tell a writer.
Yeah, wouldn't you think?
It would get out.
Yeah,
okay,
not
so,
after the case.
So
yeah.
Were there whispers? Were there rumors? I think there were rumors of, look, you know, things, but there were a lot of rumors at the time. So it's always easy after the fact to say stuff like that.
This is a good text because I wanted to kind of change directions a little bit. Dave, when Dolphins training camp begins, which begins on the 21st, the rookies report, the 24th is when the vets report, and the 25th, I believe, is the first day of camp, all coming up in the next 2 weeks and change. When Dolphin training camp begins, which side of the ball will you be keeping a close eye on and hope the best improvement comes when the NFL season starts? The offense and passing game will be it for me. I think that's the obvious answer, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's only
the quarterback and the offense.
There's only one point of interest on the Dolphins this season, and that is the quarterback, and that's Josh Rosen. Okay, who is he? What is he? Can he, you know, lift his game and with it maybe a whole franchise, or do we move into next season as would be the betting choice? And they're so bad that they have the number one pick and can get their choice of quarterbacks.
Are you, I don't know if it's more of a question like that, is the Josh Rosen kind of situation, are we rooting for him to be the guy? I don't know what I mean, like me and you. I'm
oh,
just
absolutely.
Saying. Like, do you think fans out there are hoping that he just becomes the franchise quarterback so you don't have to draft like a Tua or a Herbert or one of these guys? Do you think there's more consensus that way or more kind of thought of, let's just get where we need to get to this year? Rosen's on a good contract. Who cares? And we're going to get Tua or Herbert in the draft.
If you're asking me if
– what do you think the fans think?
Well, here's what they should think. The choice should be if Josh Rosen proves he's a franchise quarterback, hands down, no question.
Yeah, he's the guy.
That would be
yes.
So good because they're not going to be good this year, even if he proves that, okay? If he proves it, they're going to win some games because that would be part of it. But say they're still drafting the top eight, then you have so many other needs. You can go out and start getting impact players.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I just wonder what the consensus. I'll do a little quick text poll here. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. If you're listening, 56022, text in. Are you hoping for a Josh Rosen kind of breakout, he's the guy kind of year, or do you not care and you're just worried about drafting Tua?
No, Josh Rosen.
Right?
To
That's
me,
how I feel.
All focus to me this season is on Josh Rosen, okay? And
poor Fitz.
Well, yeah. Look, everybody loves Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
I mean,
he's
a pro. He's funny. He's smarter than any of us. All that, right? But there's also a reason only the Dolphins wanted him.
Correct.
And there's a reason that he knew
coming here what the situation
him.
Would
yeah,
be. Yes.
Right. So, The scenario that looks like it's playing out, Fitzpatrick will start maybe the year, and as soon as he struggles a little, here comes Josh Rosen.
I think the better question to ask a columnist or someone covering the team every day would be, we obviously know what the number one thing is that we're going to be staring at during training camp and during the season. What's the next big storyline?
Well, the next storyline to me is all these younger players. Who can you trust is going to be here in 2 years? Who develops? You know, what do they have in some of those defensive linemen, you know, that have looked up and down? You know, is Charles Harris, does he become anything? You know, Jesse Davis on the offensive side, can they use him, develop him to the point where, okay, yep, we can say he'll be there for the next 5 years? So that's it. What do they have in some of these younger hopefully building blocks?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know what you have from, obviously, Xavier Howard, from Laramie Tunsil, possibility of what Kenyon Drake can bring. I think a lot of the story, I think to me, the Charles Harris situation might be that second story for me, because he is a first-round pick. We've already kind of given up on Devontae Parker, and if he's coming back this year, whatever you get from him is whatever it is. It doesn't even matter at this point to a lot of fans. I'm hoping that he actually takes a big step and becomes a better player this year. But Charles Harris, to me, is the guy. You drafted this guy, you know, first-round pick, top 20 pick. I think it was 19 or maybe it was 21 in that draft. You expected a lot from him, and you got nothing from him, because you already made the mistake with Deion Jordan a couple years ago, third overall, who brought you nothing and never really played for this team. And Charles Harris right now is kind of teetering down that line of, is he a first-round bust or not?
And they've done the thing that a good franchise, smart franchise does, in the new regime comes in and they talk up Charles. We like his work ethic. We like this about it. It's sort of the Pygmalion theory of, you talk somebody into the way you hope they are, and you hope he can go from these padless practices where he looks good running around to you put on pads and start hitting, and you hope you don't get the guy you saw the last 2 years.
Yeah, you're right about that. Defensive line, I think, to me, just in general with Harris and some of the young guys, is going to be the next big step for this team to see what they have, because defensive back-wise, there kind of is a mishmash of decent players back there, and Minka Fitzpatrick and Xavien's back there and Rashad's back there, and you kind of know what you have to a point.
Well, here's the question with Minka. Is he a star? I mean, he certainly showed he's trending that way as a rookie. Okay, now can you nail him into a position?
Well, that's a big question, right?
And well, you're going to have to, and whether that position is that he's kind of a – he's a rover, you know, he moves between safety and cornerback in the way that the Patriots move Patrick Chung around. Okay, maybe that's his role. But whatever it is, you want to get him there at some point.
You find a spot for him. You want to find a permanent spot for him to a point. You know, now a lot of these guys that are not, you know, that are in the, you know, linebacker, doesn't even matter what position you are in defense, a lot of the times they do move you around. I just want Minka to be a guy where we know where he is at all times. And he has to be on the field and not...
Or you don't know where he is at all times.
Well, offensively, for us, I guess it's one thing. For the offense, something different. But there is a lot of storylines with this Dolphins team, and we'll obviously get into a lot of those.
But they're not very interesting, most of them.
No, they're not. They're not, because we kind of know what this season might look like from afar.
Here's a question. Are you rooting for wins this year or losses? There's the real issue for Dolphin fans. And it's very bizarre for me to hear a fan base that is just
rooting for
wailed
losses
about all the losses, now saying, you know what, maybe we should lose.
I just think that the Dolphin fans are beat up so bad that one more year of losing, and probably losing bad. I'm not talking 1-15 bad, but probably close to that.
If you're going to lose bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going for that number one pick.
They'll be up to that task, too.
I mean, if you're realistically looking at Tua or Herbert, you need to go 2 or 3 wins, so you don't have to use other picks to move back up.
Two wins. You don't want to go above 2 wins if you're trying to lock down that spot.
Yeah, because if you win four or five games, if Fitzpatrick goes 2-2 to start the season or 3-1 to start the season somehow, you're at that point you want to just try to win. And I don't know if that's even going to be the case 8-9 games into the season, where at that point, you know, you're 4-4 or whatever it is. Yeah, if you're going to lose, you got to lose big. It sucks to think of that because it's a brand new football season coming up, and football season breeds excitement, and football season is usually the hot thing around the city.
Be awful, Dolphins. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing to help that out with the local fans down here in South Florida is the Hurricanes just have one hell of a season, and the Dolphins do exactly what you hope they're going to do, and the Hurricanes end up really good. The Dolphins end up with the number one and number two pick. And then you go from there.
Or the Heat sign Russell Westbrook, and everything looks really
That's
good, right?
Hey, this entire city could turn, outside of the Marlins right now, and no offense to the Marlins on this, but the whole city could be turned around very quickly. If the Panthers do what we think they might do this season and actually get to the playoffs and maybe make a run, the hockey's taken care of.
That tells you how low, if they actually get to the playoffs, over half the teams in hockey, it's been almost as predictable as New England is to be content, it's as predictable for the Panthers to not make the playoffs.
You're right.
Which is, they've been a given in sport.
They tease us with about 20 games left in the season, whether 8 or 9 points out, 10 points out. Oh, if we make a run now and win 5 games in a row, we'll be back in it.
But it tells you how low the bar is. Just make the playoffs. Just be one of over half the teams in hockey and make the playoffs.
You realize the buzz, and I keep using that word buzz, what the buzz around the city would be if the Dolphins were a wild card team
this year.
Yeah, or next
any
year. Next year.
Any year. Like, take any year.
We saw that, and I'll even go back to 08 when you won the AFC East and Baltimore came to town for that home playoff game, the wild card round. I was covering that game.
This would be the greatest surprise of me covering sports in South Florida if the Dolphins
this
make
season.
The playoffs.
Okay, yeah, it would be. You're right.
There would be no greater odds, even like the 96 Panthers, third year in existence. No.
Getting to where they did, yeah. Oh, no, I think that would be the biggest shocker. Nothing would shock me more than all of a sudden this season the Dolphins go 9-7, make the wild card.
The Marlins turning from the worst record in baseball on May 20th in 2003 to winning the World Series would pale in comparison to the Dolphins making the playoffs this year.
Trader Jack. They don't have Trader Jack in that Dolphins organization. That's the difference also. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and read some of your text messages. A lot of football texts come in. Thank you. Finally, we get to kind of change it up a little bit here on the show and stop talking about Russell Westbrook so much until he gets traded here, and then the entire show goes exactly in that direction.
For the next week.
For the next 2 weeks, whatever it is, until we literally get foot on in Davie for that facility for training camp. All right, we'll come back. That's Dave Hyde. More of your texts coming up, 56022 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
Radio.com.
Please.
The heat is on. All right, we got to go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to. Is that you laughing back there? What was that? You're just playing buttons back there. Yeah, there's the biff. All right, we're going to go out to that Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Like I said, we're going to bring on Will Manso right now. Will Manso, WPLG sports director and friend of everybody here in South Florida. Will, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you guys.
All right, Will, Russell Westbrook, topic of conversation, not just here on the morning shows around town and not just on TV at night, but a national story as well. And now after, you know, yesterday we were talking about it here. What would you give up? What would you do? Do you want Russell Westbrook? We don't even know what the deal is. Then he comes out in the afternoon and we hear a report from Woj. We hear Woj bomb that Russell Westbrook and his agent have talked to Sam Presti. He wants out. The trade demand is in. And Miami is now possibly in the forefront to get him. Your first thought when you heard that, were what?
Well, I think to preface it, I'll say this, because I think people are so torn on this subject for some reason, and I have a feeling it's the money, but we'll get to that in a minute. To me, one of the most exciting players in the league, like the guy that I would pay to see over the years, like that I've always looked at that game as I want to see this guy in person, has always been Russell Westbrook. I mean, he's like a blur going up and down the court. So I preface it by saying that I've always been a huge Russell Westbrook fan. So there may be some people listening that just haven't been for whatever reason, and that's why they feel that the Heat should go after him. But my first thought was, when you got a chance to get a superstar, I mean, Pat Riley's the master of that. You got to make the call. You got to see what's there. You got to see how you can get him. To me, it's a no-brainer to try to get him. You mentioned the compensation. Obviously, that's where it gets tricky. That's stuff that Riley, Andy, and Sam Presti and those with the Thunder have to figure out. But if he's available and they're looking to move him and you're the Heat and you're looking for stars, to me, it sounds like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way that I looked at it. Even before the demand was in and just the fact that he was being dangled out there, if you have a chance to bring in a guy to play with Jimmy Butler and you could put a duo together in the East, that automatically, in my mind, puts you in the top four or five teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean, obviously, depending on what you have to give away. Yesterday, I was thinking you'd have to give away Hero and Bam and Justice and Goran and half the team, and you're going to have to sell half the farm to do it. But now it might be a little bit less than that because the demand is in and Miami's been named. But I do agree with you on this. I know the money is one thing, and like I said, we'll get into that. But if you have the chance to get Russell Westbrook, I don't think you wait 2 seconds on that phone call.
No, and look, and the bottom line is this, too. I think what people can't lose sight of is that when the Heat got Jimmy Butler, everybody was like, all right, great, they got Jimmy Butler, they got a star-type player, an alpha-type player, that's great. But that, to me, was a signal that Pat Riley wasn't done. You don't get a Jimmy Butler at 29, turning 30 years old, right? I think we could all agree is still his prime, but with only a few years left in that prime, and then say, okay, but we're going to wait to 2021. You know, let's figure out another star, second star, when he's 33. That's just not going to work. I mean, they signaled to me, and I think to everyone, that we got Jimmy Butler. We're not done. We're still looking for more players, and especially one star player to pair with him. Now, you mentioned some of those players. I never got caught up in the compensation too much because, to me, it's not a direct – I can't compare it exactly, but in a way it feels like what the Marlins did, the new regime with Giancarlo Stanton. They were rebuilding, and they wanted to move that salary. I know it's different in baseball, salary caps and matching salary when you're trading. It's different in the NBA. But the theory is, in general, the same. The more important thing, I think, to the Thunder is moving that money and not having that commitment down the road in 4 years and having some sort of flexibility financially. I don't think the motivation is as much – current players. Look what they did with the Clippers. They got a ton of picks. They have so many assets for the future draft-wise. I think they're thinking more big picture, that way of rebuild, and not necessarily give me all your best players and let's figure this out now.
All right. Well, Zach mentioned with this trade the Heat would be fourth or fifth in the East. That would be these two, Jimmy Butler and Westbrook's contracts would demand no other moves for 4 years. Are you if Zach's right, fourth or fifth in the East, are you happy with that move?
Well, I think they'd be top three in the East. I think Milwaukee and Philly are the class of the East right now. But given what happened with Kawhi leaving the East, some of the other teams having some question marks, the Celtics' master plan hasn't really come together. I think the Heat would actually be top three in the East. I think when you look at Butler and Westbrook, if that were a pairing, you look around the league. I mean, there are very few pairings, 1-2 punches like that. Obviously, you're going to have LeBron and AD, now Kawhi and Paul George. I get it. But you have very few that are that dynamic to me. And depending on the compensation you give up, if you can keep some of these core pieces and some of these guys that they have currently, I think he could be a contender in the Eastern Conference. And I also think, look, I think we get caught up too much, and especially in the NBA, we get caught up too much in future free agency and salary cap. If we've learned anything from the league, is that when stars want to be in a place, they will end up in that place. And to me, Miami will always be a desirable place. So to say, oh, man, in 2021, 22, 23, they're going to be strapped because of this, I don't buy that. I think if star players want to be here, they'll find a way. The Heat opened this offseason with no cap space and some would say in cap hell, and they could end the offseason with Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook. Stuff figures itself out when players want to be in certain places.
Yeah, you're right. Jimmy Butler wanted to be here, and Russell Westbrook seems to want to be here. Anthony Davis wanted to be with the Lakers. Paul George wanted to be with the Clippers. It's the only sport, really, where a player can flex his muscle and say, send me to this place. And the team is almost an accomplice in that or a writer, and they have to accompany the player's wishes.
Absolutely. It's the one, you're right. It is the one league where players really dictate the movement because there are so few really star players, and they know that to win championships, they have to pair with some of those few star players somewhere, whether it's two guys or three guys together. So again, to me, look, if this were a situation where it was a different market, maybe not one of the bigger markets, but Miami to me is always a desirable place. And I think Pat Riley knows that. And even though Pat's not going to be here forever, is, you know, who knows how much longer he's going to run this team, another 5 years, 10 years, Pat will tell you forever. But at some point, there's going to be a transition. And whenever that is, there will always be, to me, this is a place you want to play. And I can't say right now, guys, with a good conscience, say, hey, no, don't get a guy like Russell Westbrook, an MVP, and a guy who I still think is a top 10 player, because in 2022, you may not be able to have flexibility. All that stuff, to me, works itself out.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting situation with Russell Westbrook and just the scenario in general. Pat Riley, if he's here in 10 years still as GM of this team, my goodness, the longevity on that guy would be the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Would you ever bet against him?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. I truly
he'd still be competing against Jerry West for
two of them would still be there.
That'd be tremendous.
That's Will Manso, WPLG sports director, joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Yeah, money is the situation that comes in with this, because in year four of that contract, $47 million will be owed to Russell Westbrook. But I also look at it as if you sign anyone right now who's in that superstar category, that fourth or fifth year, whether a guy's 23 years old or 29 right now. I mean, Jimmy Butler, no one's really like out there complaining. In the last year of his deal, he'll be a $40 million guy as well. So it's not the biggest deal in the world, and he'll be 33 or 34 at that time as well. I just think you want to be relevant again. I just think you're sitting – I call this town right now the 8-8 town. You're picking 13 in every draft. That means that you're 8-8. You're basically at 500 with all these teams. You didn't make the playoffs to the Heat last year. You didn't make the playoffs to the Panthers, in which it seems like the last 100 years. The Dolphins are in this kind of mode of we're rebuilding, yet we're still hoping that somebody is the quarterback already on this roster now. If the Heat have a chance to get another star and become relevant and maybe – by luck, get a good matchup in the playoffs and get to the Eastern Conference Finals, why not take a shot right now? I just don't understand why people are against this. I mean, maybe it is the money.
Well, I mean, I see the money part. I don't get, because it's not. I mean, it's not our money. I mean,
that's a good point. Also,
it's not something I worry about. We don't have to chip in on that. I mean, and I understand, you know, from a salary cap perspective, you don't want to strap yourself. But again, I don't get caught up in that, because I think you could always work your way out. If anything, this offseason has proven that the whole salary cap and up against the wall and strapped financially doesn't really apply in the NBA, because it gets figured out. But what you were just saying, I think, is important as well, the relevancy. You know, being relevant in this town and having that open window, the Heat has been relevant now for the last 20 years. Very few times in those 20 years has there been that season where it just doesn't feel right. And it's now going on 2 or 3 years where it doesn't feel right. And to those that say, hey, run the young guys out there and see what you got, if that's what ends up happening, I think this current team will be fun to watch. But I think we could all agree they're not going to be a contender in the Eastern Conference as far as for winning the East. To me, if you've got that window to be more than just a fun team and an entertaining team and be an actual contending team, you got to take it. You can't punt a season or two thinking 2021 is the class. You got to think now. And that's why Riley, when he made that quote, when he said that on draft night, hey, you know, there are no obstacles. Well, I mean, there are obstacles, and everyone thought maybe he was senile or going crazy. He was absolutely right. I mean, there are obstacles, yes, facing you, but in reality, they're not. You can figure out a way to be relevant, especially in Miami, especially with Pat Riley, and especially the way the NBA is lining up now.
Will, usually when players move, it's money is the first consideration, winning the second consideration. And yet Jimmy Butler took less money and he left a contender. Why do you think he came to the Heat?
That's a good question, Dave. And we haven't, you know, I know Jimmy had the conference call the other day, and he's been, the one thing I can tell about him already is I think we're going to like him from a media perspective. I think the fan perspective, he's a very personable, open guy, and a really interesting guy, unique guy. And I think part of that ties into his decision. I think it's pretty clear that the Dwayne influence definitely played a part. I think sometimes those storylines get overblown, that it's all we're romanticizing the relationship with Dwayne, and it really just does come down to money. But clearly, it wasn't just down to money. I think Jimmy's a guy who, A, is making a lot of money. These guys do make a lot of money. They understand that. And B, wants to be in a place that has some sort of stability and that culture. And he hasn't. Look around his NBA career. He's bounced around. Things didn't work out in Chicago. He ends up in Minnesota. He goes over to Philly. They put together this kind of super team. It doesn't work out. I think part of it is Dwayne, and in seeing from the outside looking in, he saw the culture that's here, being the star, how big it is in this town and on that franchise. And I think he wanted to kind of have that, embrace that, that for the next 4 years, he's going to be in that culture. He's going to make a lot of money in that culture. And the people within that organization are going to do everything in their part to give him a chance to win. I think, to me, Pat Riley said, look, I'm going to do everything in my power to pair you with a star, to pair you with players so that you can win a championship during these 4 years. And I think Jimmy looked at that and looked at the culture and what Dwayne showed him and said, I want part of that.
What do you think about Justin Verlander last night saying the balls are juiced in baseball for home runs? I know you're a big baseball guy.
I think there's something to it. I know pitchers are always going to complain, and home runs are up. Guys are strong. Look, the game has changed. It's all strikeouts and home runs now. You know, remember that when I grew up, we were on the same age range as Zach, and I know Dave's the same. You know, like we grew up watching guys where a 30 home run season was amazing.
Huge, yeah. If
Tony Gwynn, you hit 330, 340 is amazing. Now guys don't do that. Now it's you can hit 250 and you're a great hitter because you're hitting 40 home runs. So the game has changed. Part of it is that, but I do think there's something to the balls are probably a little juiced.
But don't you think the home run derby would be a lot more fun if there was one exploding ball in there? You know, a guy swings and powder, right? I watch that. I just wait for that.
It'd be a gender reveal. That's what we could do. We could do a gender reveal at the home run derby with somebody. That's it.
It's what the funny thing is that you know the home run derby. This is where baseball. The sad state of it is, I love baseball so much, but last night was as good as it gets in the major league season, right? Like, what's the one thing you're going to remember or that anyone remembers of the first half of the MLB season? Most fans are going to say, man, that home run derby was incredible. So, like, an exhibition was the best part of your sport. They got some work to do.
Yeah, very. Dan Uggla is wishing he's playing in today's game. He could strike out 100 times and have 40 home runs and maybe be the MVP of this league.
Have a $100 million contract.
And have a $100 million contract as well. Will, appreciate the time. As always, it is possible that in the next 24 to 48 hours, we might be talking about Russell Westbrook in a Heat jersey. That'll be exciting. I think exciting. Maybe some people don't, but I think it'll be exciting.
Oh, man, I'm excited. Look, 2 weeks ago we were talking about that 8-8 town you were talking about.
Yes.
And now you're telling me that he may have Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook. Sign me up.
Yep, why not? Will, have a good day. Thank you for your time, as always.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy. Right.
Will Manso, WPLG Sports Director, joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. We'll come back. We'll talk. We'll bring up your text again because there's a lot of texts in here. One guy said that I was high right now.
Well, you're high on caffeine. I know that.
Because you're high, Zach. Panthers will be the first team in the future to bring a title. Heat have no shot. And I said to the guy, potentially the Panthers have the best roster, if not the best young players.
And there's a random quality to hockey that there isn't in basketball.
Yes.
But look who just won the Stanley Cup, St. Louis.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
all I wrote back to him is, you might be right.
We'll have him pee in a cup during the break.
Okay. Not me. I'm not peeing in a cup. But they need to make the playoffs first. The Panthers need to make the playoffs to actually win a Stanley Cup. And we haven't seen
that. We will be testing Zach at the break, though.
Wow. Okay. Well, Zach's leaving, and now it's just the Biff and Dave Hyde Show. We'll be back after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, thanks to Will Manso for joining us for a couple minutes. Talking about the Heat. And I thought Justin, I know he's a big baseball guy, so the Verlander quote was very funny yesterday. He believes 100% that the league has implemented juiced balls to increase offense.
I don't disagree with him.
Neither do I.
Baseball do anything to creates a little more interest in the
Absolutely.
Sport right now.
Look at the biggest sport I still think, and I don't think it's a question, in the United States, NFL, football. It's all now, the rules are all now towards the offense. You want points scored. This is not the 85 Bears defense. This is not the 86 Giants, the 90 Giants, the Redskins in the 80. This league is not built. It's not the Ravens of 2000 or the Buccaneers. It's not built for that anymore. If you have a great defense like that, it's going to help your team. But it's built for scoring. Baseball, as much as a baseball purist will come to me and say, nothing better than a pitcher's duel in the ninth. No hits on either side. Someone's got to budge. To me, that's boring. And maybe that's just the generation I grew up in and the generation I'm living in right now. I would rather see, and I've had this debate with Channing. When me and Channing were on the show together, we had this debate all the time. If the reason why the Dolphins to me in the 80s with Marino were awesome to watch, outside of the fact they won a lot of games, didn't win a Super Bowl, but won a lot of games and got to the playoffs, which basically was almost every year. When they lost, they lost. They had the 30s. They were in the 40s. They were in the high 20s. Marino was throwing touchdowns. They lost, but they didn't lose because they scored 3 points. Well, I mean, there were some games.
It's the fun thing about sports, when you walk into a stadium or arena and you know something electric could happen and you don't know what it might be. And that's what's lacking right now.
Yes.
And Russell Westbrook would bring that to the Heat.
Absolutely.
So if you're arguing that, Tim, I'm on board with that.
If we're going to lose, give me some excitement.
If you're talking he's going to bring you a championship, that I don't see that on the books with him.
I mean, listen, it's hard for me to debate that, because I still think if the trade happened 5 minutes ago, Russell Westbrook is now a part of this Miami Heat team, and they gave up Gorin and Justice and Deion Waiters, whatever it is. And we actually got something, you know, we didn't have to give up too much of the young power. I still don't think they're a championship contender. You're right. So I understand that. I can't debate that.
But they would be much more fun to watch.
They would be a team that is, to me, is we're back to must-watch television every night when they're playing. And for the last 2 years, the Heat were not like that for me. They just weren't like that for me.
And what you trust is Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra will add, you know, structure and or players and get the maximum out of over the next few years, whatever they can do, and make it so they're a threat in the East.
Yeah, so they're and possibly a contender when it comes to the championship. I just think right now you have to strike while the iron's hot, because of the fact that the last 5 years, to a point, you knew Golden State was going to be in the finals in the Western Conference, and you knew before LeBron went to L.A., it was Cleveland. That's it. It was a foreseen fact. You didn't even have to play the regular season, to me. It was kind of when the Heatles were around here, the Big Three era, the 1 year where, like, Chicago had the team, oh, Chicago is going to be the team that the Heat are going to have the most problems with. Okay. Or Boston. This Boston team is still – this is a team to beat. Or Indiana.
Remember, Boston was up playing at home in Game 6, and you had the greatest performance by LeBron in a Heat uniform.
Maybe in his career. 45 points. It's possible in his career.
Changed the course and the narrative of the Big Three.
Yes.
And that, you know, his individual career as
well. Of course. Well. I mean, this is coming after a season where...
God, I miss those days.
Right?
Right? So, yeah, bring on Russell Westbrook.
I was just talking, I don't know if it was to somebody on the text machine or if somebody tweeted at me something about, you know, that year one of the Heat, LeBron ruined it for the Heat in that first year. And I was like, I went to Dallas with Joe for those middle games. That's when the format was 2-3-2. And NBC sent Joe up and QAM sent me up to do the show with Joe from Dallas that entire week. So Sunday was game 3, then Tuesday was game 4, and then game 5 was Friday night. And when we were on the plane going up, the conversation with a lot of the media guys was, man, where are we going to celebrate after game 5 when they win the series 4-1 in Dallas? Like, is there going to be a celebration in Dallas? Are they going to fly home? Well, what's the deal going to be? And to me, it was amazing to even think like that, as it was kind of a shoo-in that you're going to either be there or you're going to win the championship. And just one of the things that I remember distinctively, of course, especially if you're a Heat fan or in the media then, was I was friends with Greg Doyle, still am friends with Greg Doyle, who at the time I think worked for CBS Sports and now works for the Indianapolis Star. I was sitting next to him in the postgame when he stood up and asked the question to LeBron James, why do you seem to shrink in the fourth quarter? And I cringed like someone just said something really bad to my brother and then I want to fight you. Like, I was so, like, I was taken, as much of the media was, because even though we all kind of saw it, and you could look on paper and see what happened to LeBron in the fourth quarter in a lot of those games, in that, especially in that Dallas series the first year, I was like, wow, I'm like, is this how it's going to be every year? Like, with LeBron? Like, what's going to happen?
That's so great.
I know.
They were the show, and they got, you know, rarely got, but you had post games like that. And you had all great scenes. So You know, that ain't coming back. That ain't coming back through the door.
No, it's not. LeBron James is not walking through that door, folks. Chris Bosh is not walking through that door, folks. Dwayne Wade, unfortunately, is not walking back through that door, folks. It is Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley, and whatever else they could put together with this team and see if it works.
And Russell Westbrook's
that happens.
On the table here. You get a lot of people following the NBA saying Russell Westbrook isn't what he was, and his contract is very put in a franchise in handcuffs for the next 4 years, and so you got to filter that into your thinking too. As I said, I would do this deal, but I'd be crossing my fingers and cringing a bit as I did it too.
Yep. How about these two straight texts in a row? 56022, 56022 is a Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. We've spent the last few years in salary cap hell, and paying Westbrook's contract puts us right back there. That's the first one. The second one, if the Heat pull off this trade, Riley and Ellisburg should have bronze statues erected in their likeness today. Like, that's where there is such a split on this Russell Westbrook thing, because of some people look at the age and the money, and other people look like me at the shiny object in the corner of saying Russell Westbrook right now is a top 10 player.
But whatever shiny object in the corners you would want, regardless, right?
To a point, yes.
Yeah, I mean, if
this one's just right in front of me right now, and it's a top 10 shiny object in the NBA. There's not a lot of times where you get that.
Well, let's go through top 10.
Okay.
All right. Let's
in any given order, we could probably name 10 people off the top of our heads. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, James Harden. That's four right there that I could think of without even thinking.
You got Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, that's five.
Here, let me get
Steph Curry is six. Dame Lillard, is he in that conversation? Top 10?
I wouldn't put him, but you got Giannis.
Yes, Giannis. So that's seven. Top
five. LeBron, Kawhi, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Giannis.
Okay.
There's top five.
In any order you want to give. Okay.
We can sit there and debate all day who goes where.
That's a fine top five for me.
Second five would come down to Harden, Curry. Is Embiid, is he putting himself in there after these playoffs?
He's definitely putting himself in there. I don't know if
Nikola Jokic from Denver.
He's
got
to be really
right
close
there
to that, yeah.
Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And Westbrook. You know,
yeah.
Rudy Gobert of Utah's name. He's first team all defense and an offensive force. If he was in a big market,
he'd be different. I don't look at him as a top 10 guy. I put Dame Lillard ahead of him if I'm going to do that. I even put Paul George, I think, ahead of him.
And there you go. Russell Westbrook is in that second tier of mix somehow.
Anywhere between 5 and 50. You said it correctly earlier. Yes.
And Jimmy Butler is after that tier.
Jimmy Butler's in that next tier. Very close to that tier, but better than the next
tier. The fascinating thing about Jimmy Butler, though, is he's done things that almost should be applauded. He called out young players for not being professional. Now, you can question how he called him out at times, and then he goes to Philadelphia, and he is their closer. You know, here they got these two young stars, Embiid. Centers can't be closers, typically.
No, not anymore.
And Simmons, who doesn't have an – so he's the closer on the team.
Yep.
That's the guy you want. That's the guy, you know, look, the Heat didn't have, but even a contending team like Philadelphia, he was their guy. And so Jimmy Butler, to me, there's an upside there if you can tap into that. If at age 30, you know, you put him in the right position. And I guess maybe that's the answer, my answer to why is he coming here when he gave up $40 million and he gave up a chance to contend.
Culture.
Maybe that's the answer. Culture.
Culture is always my answer to that. Why does somebody want to come down here and play? Culture.
It's
culture, sunshine, and still a good amount of cash also.
As
and Sergei no state
Bobrovsky
tax.
Bobrovsky said, I need sunscreen.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, you look around and it's funny, too, because I think it was brought up before. That's what I was going to say to Will Manso before. When a player demands a trade in the NBA now, it happens. And usually if he says, I want to go to Miami or L.A., you're traded to Miami or L.A. I want to go to New York, you're traded to New York. If in the NFL – a player demands a trade, he gets traded to Buffalo.
You're right.
You know, yeah. Like the first team that it's linked to is, yeah, that guy's going to be traded to Buffalo. But it's not in the NBA. The NBA, the players run the league. In the NFL, the executives and the owners run the league.
Because you can't have the face of a franchise being an unhappy one crying. You know, imagine Russell Westbrook going to, now Minnesota is one of the rumor teams.
Yes, they're one of the three or four teams. Yeah.
And he has a team like Minnesota that hasn't won and is not going to win a championship, okay? Or the Heat, which is remaking itself. And you get why he's saying, no, send me to the Heat, right?
Mm. Yeah, of course. You're going to want to go there. You're going to want to go to L.A. You're going to want to go to Brooklyn at this point. You're going to want to go to Miami at this point. You're not going to want to go to Detroit. Like, and funny thing is, we're going to have Grant Long come on, and he works for the Detroit Pistons.
He'll tell why you should go to Detroit.
He's going
to
give the – he's going to – it's like he's selling Detroit for us, and I can understand that because maybe Detroit's one piece away from being a top dog in the East. Maybe they are. Maybe they're Russell Westbrook away from being that.
From
they got,
being the fourth team in the East.
From being, a contending team in the Eastern. I think at this point, you just need to be a contending team to have a shot.
You see, okay, here's a great comparison. Detroit made a move a year ago. Blake Griffin. And everybody was saying, why didn't the Heat get Blake Griffin? Why didn't the Heat get Blake Griffin? There's that shiny object, right? The guy who dunks over the car, right?
Yep.
Everybody, now you're seeing why the Heat didn't go after Blake Griffin.
Because he's a shiny object, but he's not even close to a top
20
player.
He's not what he was.
No.
Right?
He's a show of himself. He gets hurt, and that's the problem. Now, Russ has got a little bit of injury stuff. Does that scare you? I mean, it's not like he's blown out his knee 10 times.
Not an injury. I mean, look, whenever anybody has the wear and tear he has, and his game's built
more
on athleticism,
body, yes.
and not a shot. Yeah, I mean, you're worried about injuries as they get older, but that hasn't come into the picture so much as I'm more worried he doesn't have a mid-range and out game. And when as he gets older,
he's going to have to develop that.
Yeah,
otherwise.
Maybe he'll develop it. Yeah. You know, that happens.
We'll see. There are a lot of question marks around this. No news yet on Russell Westbrook. We are all over the internet and all over our sources trying to figure it all out. But Russell Westbrook is out there. He's dangling, and the Heat are one of the teams trying to fish him up and see what happens. 9 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk to Grant Long at 9:20. He is from the Detroit Pistons, Pistons studio analyst, and obviously former Heat legend. I like to say legend in that as well. That's Grant Long coming up at 9:20. I was waiting for you to say something.
You're inflating legend, but everybody loves Grant Long.
Love
right?
Grant
so
Long.
So you can call him a legend, and we'll let
in
you get away.
In my mind, no matter
heat
what,
great,
that guy's
heat
a legend.
In fact, when we introduce him, we'll say Heat legend.
I'm saying Heat legend when he comes on. That's what I'm going to do. All right, that's coming up. 9 o'clock hour coming up as well.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.